You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz al-Sahaba.
Ahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tonight's talk, my brothers, sisters, inshallah, I will divide into three parts. The first part is my recent visit to Bolivia. Alhamdulillah, in the second half of Ramadan, we went to South America. Bolivia is a country where very, very few South Africans would really go and visit. Nevertheless, from here we went to Dubai, from Dubai to Brazil, and I just spent one night there, actually to drop off my luggage and so forth. And then we flew, my wife and myself, from there to Santa Cruz. It's a 3-hour flight from Brazil, and that is Sao Paulo to Santa Cruz. Alhamdulillah, we obtained our visa at the Santa Cruz airport. You just pay $100 US, and alhamdulillah, the procedure was very quick. However, regarding Bolivia, it's very, very interesting, my brothers, that there are 10 million people there, the total population, Muslims between 1,000 and 2,000. They have in the entire country only 2 masajid, one in La Paz and one in Santa Cruz. In the whole country, they don't have a single hafiz. You should just take Tongat, mashallah, I'm sure you got 10, 20 huffaz here. With the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, it is thanks to you, my brothers, sisters, your families and your well-wishers and donors that this year alone, subhanallah, 70 huffaz approximately, ulama, huffaz, qurra, they left the shores of South Africa and went to different parts of South America to render the Taraweeh prayer and salat, because there's a shortage of huffaz in the whole of South America. Where we were in Santa Cruz, the imam was Maulana Munshi, and he came all the way from Venezuela as a South African. And he told me from the 70 huffaz who are there in South America this year, Ramadan 1440, 20 of them were designated and sent to Venezuela. Can you imagine? So many places they have Khatmul Quran now, 20 of them had to go to Venezuela. And the other 50 were scattered in different places. MashaAllah, the imams there are two brothers, they are twins, Mona Anas and Mona Unais. And they hail from Sri Lanka. They studied in various darulons, madrasas in South Africa. But lo and behold, they're not hafiz. So Maulana had to come all the way from Venezuela. And we met all the brothers there, MashaAllah. And I reached there to the Wednesday. So every day we used to have programs. I can't speak Spanish, I can't speak Portuguese. So yeah, in Bolivia they speak Spanish, and in Brazil they speak Portuguese. Whole of South America, mashallah, they speak Spanish, but in Brazil only they speak Portuguese. So I used to speak in English there in Santa Cruz, and the various ulama who were there, they used to translate the talks. And then we used to have Q&A and what have you. So what were the outstanding features for us to learn? Number one is this, that Thursday I told the Maulana, let's go to your masjid and see, let's meet the imam there. So we went there, it was Zohar time, and the sheikh was from Egypt. His father was a very, very great alim, Sheikh Mahmood, rahimahullah. He passed away about a few months ago or so. His son is now in charge, so I was asking him the history. This masjid you have here in Santa Cruz, who built it, who sponsored it? He said the Egyptian government at that time, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, the Saudi government, the Jordanian government, and the local Arabs, they played a very, very prominent role in establishing that masjid there in Bolivia, in Santa Cruz. Then he said that they had some internal strife and problems, and thereafter they became two parties. This is Allah's system. And the brothers who left them were mostly from Bangladesh and Pakistan. Now they were looking for a center of their own. And our ulama of South Africa went and they found a place, mashallah. So all those brothers who were looking for a place now found this place which the South Africans established. And now they all come there. So I did not want to get involved in all the politics. I just wanted to know the history. See, my brothers, whilst I was there, I spent 3 nights there, 3.5 days. So I used to make dua, Ya Allah, don't let me die here. Because there, when you go to the graveyard, so I told them, take me to your graveyard, I just want to see. It's all, you know what you will say in Afrikaans, Dier Makar, totally mixed up. Muslims, Christians, everybody buried almost like together. And to die there, my brothers, is not cheap. For one grave, you pay $1,000, not Zimbabwe dollars, US dollars. So I'm thinking if we pass away here, one, it will cost them $1,000, and then you don't know next to who you are buried and so forth. So imagine the things we take for granted. You see, my brothers, you need to go to our own history in South Africa, which very few of us really know or even concerned about. Just to digress for a moment, if someone has to ask us, today in Tonga, here in your Natal and so forth, you have so many Darul Uloom, so many madrasa, so many foreign students coming to Southern Africa, South Africa to study. When did all this start? We know Robben Island because of political reasons. But there's a more important reason that we should know it. Remember from the year 1781 to 1793, Imam Tuanguru Qazi Abdus Salam was incarcerated there. He was a hafiz of the noble Quran. The 13 years he spent there, from memory, from hifz, he wrote the entire Quran Sharif at Robben Island. The first Quran Sharif that saw the light of day in South Africa was the Quran Sharif written at Robben Island by Imam Tuanguru Rahimahullah. In 1794, he was given, you know, discharge and released and what have you. So he built the first masjid and he was the first imam. You know, if you go to Cape Town, Boer Kaap, where the Hilton Hotel is, that you know very well. From the Hilton Hotel, you just walk 100 meters, 150 meters, you will see the masjid there, oval masjid, masjid oval, and you will see engraved there, written there, 1794. 200 years before our democratic election, we had the first masjid already. So this is our history. Everything started there. With the barakah of these senior people, whom we have forgotten, today our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are going and servicing everybody there in South America. You go to Paraguay, you go to Uruguay, you go to Argentina, you go to Brazil, you go to Venezuela, you go to all these places, you will find South Africans. Subhanallah. They left their family and they made hijrat and they went there. Jummah time came, so they insisted I must deliver the lecture, make khutbah, salat, so forth. So I said, fine. So when I delivered the lecture, everything, thereafter I was asking them how many people came. Because, you know, it's one like a big hall and then at the back they have classrooms and what. They said more than 100 people came for the Jummah Salat and some of them traveled from far, for distant places because they heard some guest has come and what have you. So in my mind I'm thinking, the whole of Bolivia, they have 1,000 Muslims. So more than 10% were here in the masjid. Where you will find that in the world? And remember the locals. The local Bolivian, subhanallah, You see how they are flocking towards Islam. Today when you study the world media, then remember they want to hijack and distort Islam. When people are dressed like me and so forth, then you must look at them, that this person here is a potential threat to society and so forth. But when they interact with us and they see that we are the most sober people on this earth, we don't have wine, we don't have swine, we don't have all these type of things, and we don't cause anybody harm really. So subhanallah, the ladies would come and say that I want to become Muslim, and if you ask them what is the main reason, they said, I was involved in an abusive marriage and my husband used to hit me, assault me. He was on alcohol and drugs and whatever. See the beauty of Islam. Everything of Islam is so pure. It is for us to present Islam to all these people, brothers. Imagine. So alhamdulillah, it was very, very good. Bolivia was very, very cold, mashallah. I used to stay in the hotel. And just 5 minutes walk and we were there in the Muswalla. And Taraweeh time, mashallah, because there, I'm not here to pass fatwas and so forth. I'm just giving you a report, what was going on. So the Arab brothers, some of them were there. So after 8 rakats, they would go away. And our brothers would continue till 20 rakats. So what would happen after 8 rakats? We would pause. And then I would give a talk, so everybody is listening. And then those who want to continue will continue with 20 rakats. And those who want to go, they will go away. So this is how was the modus operandi, the way we used to operate there in Bolivia. Another one, two things of Bolivia, subhanallah, you know, ye in the tail. You get wonderful fruit, bananas and whatever. Subhanallah, if you look at the mangoes there and so forth, it's double the size we used to in South Africa. You look at the anar, the pomegranate, big, big size. A country that has wonderful, wonderful fruits. In fact, the lady, when I came, my wife and myself, then she asked a few questions. So when I was leaving, she was sitting there. So she spotted me and said, how's our country? I said, the country is beautiful and I enjoyed the fruit in your country. I will tell her, I'll come back, but she wasn't charging me $100 again. Huh? But obviously, they'll have to charge us. You speaking of that, you like stories. Let me tell you one story. I get a story, but they book me. So you like stories of Tongat. Let me tell you a story of Tongat. Molana, our brother here, he gave my birthday. He said 1957 I was born. Very few people know this incident. Yeah, in your Tongat, I was maybe 3, 4, 5 years old. Everybody tells me different. You know, my father told me something, my mother told me different, my brother told me different. But anyway, it was around there. So our family came for holiday here to Tongat. We got connections here, you know. So my brothers, all of them went here to Tongat Beach. This is the height of apartheid, you know. So anyway, they all went inside. So I was left behind with my short trouser or whatever. You know, a small boy. And they went away, so I decided, let me also go, you know, in the water. And lo and behold, they were on one side and I went this side. And I fell in the water and I was floating. They all looking and crying, yeah, in your Tongat Beach. They say, he's gone, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. You see, your Dr. Babu, they in Stanerton, Yusuf's son. So his brother Ismail, Ismail's wife, Julie, Juleka. She made himmat and she came right inside and she pulled me out and dragged me out. So therefore, whenever I go there, I say, Jazakallah, you saved my life, you see. So this is Allah Ta'ala, so at least you learn one history of Tongat with me, you understood? So I said, I must tell you all the story here. So mashallah, my brothers, when you travel in the world, then you learn so many things and how people are so thirsty for pure Islam. They don't want big, big lectures and textbooks and it. They want to see the practical Islam. From there we came to Brazil, Sao Paulo. Do we know what is Sao Paulo, brothers? Subhanallah, Sao Paulo is a place where the whole of Brazil, 240 million people, more than 100 masajid and musallas, Arabs by the thousands there, from various countries. So we were there, mashallah. From Marisburg, your Moana Abdul Ghani. Ghani is there, I'm sure some of you know him. His father, his leg was amputated. So when I went there, this is my third or fourth trip to Brazil. I went to his father that time after they amputated. So I told him, Haji sahab, I hakro kam karja, and jo putar ke paacho na barja. You don't call your son again. The work he is doing there, I saw what he's doing. So they started crying, and it's obvious. You're going to miss your children, grandchildren, but today go and see what work they're doing. Subhanallah. If you study Sao Paulo, my brothers, 40 million people, 100 million cars, in and out. The traffic is crazy. So we landed there, mashallah, and we just stayed the Jamaat Khana Musalla downstairs. We were upstairs. So much, everything very convenient. There, the brothers said, no, your lectures must be in Arabic because we all know Arabic and we don't want to. I said, fine. So we should deliver lectures there in the Arabic language with the help and mercy of Allah. And those brothers who didn't know Arabic, for them, they would translate in Portuguese. So see, my brothers, where to where we have to teach the Arabs Islam. If you study South America, you will know there were millions, millions of Arabs. From Palestine, from Syria, Jordan, all these countries, they went there. But you know, when you go there, it's a free society. So when you fall in love with the girl, then she takes you away, and they forgot the Islam. They forgot the alphabets, the Arabic alphabets, Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, Alif, Bet, all that they forgot. So how many a time we saw, when I was there in Argentina once, I'll just relate to you a story. So the youngster came to me, I asked him, this lady, you're saying you're going to marry her, she's Muslim. So he said, yes, she's half Muslim. What, half Muslim? He said, no, she's Muslim, but Sunday she go church also. So he was half Muslim. So his name Jamal, I told Jamal, this it don't work. You come here, it's Ramadan. That's why I love to go Ramadan. Everybody's in a masjid. You don't have to go look for anybody. Everybody is there. So I told Jamal, you come here, it's almost iftar time, come both of us, we make dua, we cry to Allah. That this business of half Muslim, it don't work. So we tell Allah and beg Allah and beseech Allah that this lady must become complete, total Muslima. Lo and behold, next time we went, so she said, no, finish now, I'm married to her, no more church, everything complete, full Muslim now. See, brothers, it is like that. They will tell you they're Muslim, but they're going to church. And it's considered like normal, it's no problem. You say, no, I just go there, nobody must get upset with me. That's how they speak, you know. So the point I'm making, brothers, take Brazil. Subhanallah, you see the Arab youngsters coming, and now they're reading Quran Sharif, they're learning surahs. That person, one Syrian brother, had his two children, he had to take me one place. I asked him, what's your children going to do? Say, I want to make him Hafiz, I want to make him Arabic. I'm going to make him alim. I said, from where are you? He said, I'm Syria. All the problems going on there, we left, we are refugees, but Allah Ta'ala brought whole Deenul Islam to us here in Brazil. See, brothers, it's an open society. You must remember that. Therefore, you youngsters, for you to go alone, they're very dangerous. Understood? You won't only learn football there, you learn something else also. So therefore, when I travel with my wife to all these places, you go shopping. So I normally stand outside because the custom tradition there is such that when you buy something and you pay in dollars, they get so happy, the woman will come and give you a peck on the cheek. You understand? Thank you. You brought some nice dollars for us. So imagine, it's an open society. So you must remember, now you can understand what difficult conditions you have to work. We went to another madrasa 1 hour away, and there I found a sheikh, Sheikh Mahir. All Lebanese brothers, we just arrived there before Maghrib. And subhanallah, I told him, no, before I go madrasa, take me to the masjid. I went to the masjid, I could see all Arab brothers. I said, who's this? They said, all Lebanese. But the imam is African imam. I said, who's this imam? They say, Imam Kadu. After Salat, everything, he spotted me, he came and he hugged me and everything. I said, Sheikh, where you study? He said, I study South Africa. I say, I'm from Maputo. So Maputo is very good Portuguese and Brazil Portuguese. When I went out, another youngster came, he came and he caught me and he hugged me, Jamaluddin. He said, you don't know me. I said, what's your name? He said, where you study? He said, I study in Darul Newcastle. See, People you don't dream, you go meet in this masjid here. They are teaching the Arabs the deen of Islam. So my brothers, when you travel all these places, you will see. Let me tell you two incidents. If you have deen, what happens? And if you don't have deen, what happens? We were in Brazil, not this time, previously. A place called Santana. So I arrived there. Normally we try and come Asr time, between Asr and Maghrib. So it was there about Asr time. We were there, Ramadan. So the people met me, brothers met me, and majority of them from Palestine. Subhanallah. So I told them, you know, I love Palestine and I've been there on several occasions. I went here. So they were so happy. Sheikh, you know more about Palestine than us. We are supposed to be Palestinians, but we don't know much. We never even saw Palestine. We're all refugees scattered in different parts of the world. So the Imam told me, when you speak, you must speak of Palestine. I said, fine. So after Maghrib meals and so forth, then Isha Salat, then the Sheikh, the Imam, he announced, today we got a big Sheikh here. He saw my size, you know. So he said, we got a big Sheikh here, and he's going to deliver a talk and so forth. So he said tonight, I'm just giving you a report. He said that we're not going to read 8 rakats Taraweeh, tonight we're reading 4 rakats Taraweeh. So imagine, from 20 they made 8 discount, from 8 they made it to 4. So after 4 rakats, then he said, okay, witr, and then, I'm Musafir, I don't have to read also, but I'm just giving exam. Then he told me, speak. So I'm thinking about, see, if you look at these places, they just read 8, they read 4, they read 6, 90% of the time you will not find a Hafiz there. Our forefathers came, Subhanallah. You start in Johannesburg, you come here to your Durban, Grey Street, Subhanallah, if you studied the history, your Javeri family, they built the Jumma Masjid. First masjid in the history of Natal. Second masjid, your West Street Masjid. Go downwards, you will see Marisburg, they go Escort, you go to Ladysmith, you go Newcastle, you go Stenerton, Balfour, Heidelberg, all. Right through till Johannesburg, you will find in the center of the town, of the city, they put up the masjid. This is the contribution our forefathers made. And next to that, they made sure there was a madrasa. Next to that, they made sure there's arrangements for Qabristan and graveyard. This is how our deen remained alive here in South Africa. Sometime, read 2 rakat salat for them. They never knew all this WhatsApp and computers and all these gadgets. But they knew one thing. Before we build our house, we have to build the house of Allah. Go to Iraq, go to Kufa, till today is there. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, awwalu man rama sahman fi sabilillah, the first person to shoot an arrow in the path of Allah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu stood in Kufa and he took his bow and arrow and shot in all 4 directions. He told the people, this is the boundary of the masjid, now around it you build your houses. This is what our forefathers did. Think about it. So anyway, we read the 4 rakats Taraweeh, and we did all these things here. Then afterwards, I told the Imam, you know, that you should have rather left it as 8, and I should make a but now you already went to announce and all this kind. He just, they take it very light, you know. Now we 2019, 2018, 2017, I was in Brazil, and in the capital, Brasilia. So there, the Mahmoud Ghani was there that time. So mashallah, they put me up in a hotel, everything. Lot of Pakistani brothers there. So I had to give talks in Urdu and then Arabic, English, whatever the people want, we just speak alhamdulillah. So these Pakistani brothers got so happy, they said, no, that we want to start our own Eidgah. So, aap hi namaz para lije. I was like, very good, no problem. Maulana was saying, good, very good. So, I can't speak Portuguese. So, Maulana put me in the hotel, he wanted to speak to that lady there, whatever. That one thing very good in South America, they respect us a lot in the hotels and all that. They will bring our suhoor, sehri, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, everything. No problem. So, he explained to them something, he said, they'll bring your meals in the morning. At 3 past 3, 4 o'clock, whatever time, they came with a big trolley. And I opened the door, and then they left it, here's your food, that's very good. I told them we'll eat boiled eggs and, you know, bread, whatever. When I opened there, I found 11 boiled eggs. When Moana came, I said, Moana, what you told them? I got one wife or four wives? Understand? Said, why? I said that they've got 11 boiled eggs here. So anyway, so when you travel, you will find a lot of incidents like this. But the flip side, subhanallah, my brothers, because it is such an open society, if you go to Brazil, you will find that the youngsters playing football and they got no other aim in life. Let me become a football star. Youngsters don't even know who's their father, and the illegitimate rate is very high. They have special schools for illegitimate children. Now look at our society. Can you imagine how many children are being born illegitimate? So how can you have a dynamic society when you have so many illegitimate children? So therefore, even on air, I always say, you want to understand Islam, then you must juxtapose it, you must compare it with any man-made system, and you will always then appreciate Islam much more. Islam says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even go near fornication. This year, one youngster came to my house. He was gone for Taraweeh day to Brazil. From the where they were staying, he was going to the masjid. Hey, bichara fasting. Two South Africans walking, both hafizabs. Yeah, the Brazilian young girl came, saw this guy is a foreigner. She caught him and then she embraced him. The other hafizab took the umbrella and giving her hiding. Hey! Hamba, go from here. And this thing. See. So this youngsters in Tongat will say, hey, better I also go next year. Somebody can catch me also. So, see, this is when you speak of open society. There's a lot of problems. Anyway, brothers, from then we came for Umrah, all that with Allah's help, and mashallah, all that happened. Our whole program this time here in Natal is a pre-Hajj. I'll come to the Hajj in the last 10-15 minutes. MashaAllah, in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, quickly, let me just tell you 2-3 incidents. 27 night, 29 night day in Makkah, over 2 million people. You know, when we arrived in Makkah, it was the 24th night. SubhanAllah, I stayed in Aziziyah, and by Dr. Farooq, he just lost his mother, now Allah Ta'ala grant her Jannatul Firdaus. So from going from Aziziyah to the Haram, you cannot even go with a taxi. So you go with a taxi, they'll drop you halfway, and then from Kuday you go with a bus. No cars are allowed inside Makkah because the crowd is so big and they had a big conference there as well. So you have to go in a bus. And then the bus drops you there. Everybody, whole lot, thousands of cars all parked everywhere. So imagine, we were there, alhamdulillah, and then our Umrah and everything else, you know. So very, very interesting it was, mashallah. And there's one reader there, you must try and get his CDs and so forth. He's a new imam. He only performs Taraweeh, you know, he's not the imam for the whole year. Sheikh Yasir Dawsari, subhanallah, wonderful reader of the Noble Quran. So when I was there, I was hearing him, excellent. We came to Madinah Munawwara, we spent a week there, alhamdulillah. And Medina, the crowd was not so big like Makkah, but Eid day and Quran Khatam, subhanallah. When the Quran Khatam took place, it was a Sunday night there, because we had Eid day on Tuesday. So anyway, you must remember that we were upstairs in Masjid Nabawi. And Sheikh Salah Budair, you know, he's got a golden voice. He finished the Quran Sharif, min al-jinnati wa nas. And there, when they finish the Quran Sharif, then they raise their hands and they make dua in Salat. The thunder, the lightning started, and then the rain came down. Subhanallah, we cry, if you only understood the dua. And Allah's mercy is coming. My cousin and him came from Jeddah and other places. After everything, I phoned them, I said, where were you all? They say, inside the masjid. I said, you know it rained. He said, no. Subhanallah. Inside the masjid, they don't know it rained. So many people I asked. So if you are on top, you see, you go here Zimbabwe, then you get Victoria Falls. You go America and you go Canada, you get Niagara Falls. You go to the side, Brazil, Argentina, you get Iguazu. So all these places, alhamdulillah. So when we go there, then the brothers are with me, I say, come here, let's make dua. Ya Allah, yaha ke chinte hum par barsa de. Ya Allah, let these splashes of water fall on us. But that is secondary. Ya Allah, rahmat ki chinte hamare upar da. Ya Allah, envelope us in your special mercy, Ya Allah. Wadkhilna fi rahmat. Subhanallah, that was one of the best Khatmul Qur'an I experienced. The rain was coming, we were drenched, and so on. The tears are rolling, and all this happened in Madinah Munawwara. So I'm appealing to you, brothers, you know what is happening in the world today. So daily, read 2 rakat salat, and say, Ya Allah, protect my Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, and Masjidul Aqsa. If you know what's happening today, the enemies are just waiting so that they can occupy all these places. So the onus, remember, it is for the Ummah. It belongs to all of us. So we all have a role to play. So minimum, it won't cost us anything. They just make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and beg Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjidul Aqsa, all our masajid throughout the world. Ya Allah, out of your infinite grace and mercy, you accept it, Ya Allah, and protect it. Okay, for you brothers, sisters who made intention, you're going for Hajj this year, 2019. So from now till Hajj, what must you do? About 5 things you need to do, so let us just go through that. Number one, JC Niyat, JC Barakah. What is your intention to go for Hajj? وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ Quran Kareem says, complete your Hajj and Umrah solely, only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah. Remember, the journey of Hajj is a journey we are making manifest to Allah, our love for Allah. First 20 days of Ramadan, what were we doing? We were fasting, not eating, drinking, not fulfilling our lust and desire. Last 10 days, there was a progression in that love. We set for itikaf. Somebody set for itikaf in Tongat Masjid. When Eid ul-Fitr, the moon was sighted and you celebrated Eid, then what happened? The season of Hajj started. So you are telling Allah, now my heart is saturated with your love. This hay is unimportant. This clothing is unimportant. The socks and shoes are not important. I'm coming to your house, Ya Allah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. That is our Hajj. That is our Umrah. The non-Muslims, they see on the TV. So they ask me on the radio that many times non-Muslims they ask, and I welcome it, I encourage it, alhamdulillah. They say, what you Muslims going round and round and round and that all this time we see on the TV, they say. I said, my brother, my sister, you see, when your clothes get dirty, then you place it in the washing machine. Then it goes round and round and comes out pure and clean. The Muslim, he goes round and round, he gets cleansed from his vices and sins. That is Islam. And if you want Quranic answer, these doctors here, Dr. Junaid Arbi, I know, and I don't know some other doctors. So Allah Ta'ala give you many more doctors, so alhamdulillah. Quran says, see Quran, Ijazul Quran, min nutfatin amshaj. We don't read Quran. We don't understand the beauty of Quran, the message of Quran. Husband, wife meet, then the semen, the sperm that moves, it goes anti-clockwise. So when we stand by the Baytullah, we remember our origin and we also go anti-clockwise. See, Quran. So anyway, my brothers, the first thing we need to know is our intention. Second, make sure you make intention for 6-day Hajj, not 5-day Hajj. Because most people perform Hajj once in a lifetime. So Quran Kareem teaches us, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Emulate me, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah 3 verse 31. You will become the beloved of Allah. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ And Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. So from now, go with a positive frame of mind. You will see when you are there and you run away after 5 days, you can't go anywhere. In Makkah, there are 2 million people. From Azizia to Makkah, they're going to charge you 100 riyals and so forth. So rather, even the Hajj ministry, they'll tell you, stay in Mina. So stay in Mina with the intention that we want to fulfill the sunnah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's very important, brothers, sisters, going for Hajj. Third one, make sure that our wall is ready. How many a time we go, and we just go like that, and if something happens, we die intestate, and then there's big problems there. Every day I'm inundated. Even today I think, or yesterday I received a case where on the, you know, email or WhatsApp, this brother, this sister, everybody fighting, this is not my share, this is my share, and so forth. So it's in your interest, O father, O mother, O husband, O wife, that you have your will ready before you embark on this journey of love. So if something happens to you, normally on a lighter note I say, when we go for Hajj and Umrah, then sometimes the people, they push me in front, they make dua. So we make dua in Arabic, Urdu, English. Ya Allah, mare Hajj ko kabul farma, ameen. Ya Allah, mare Umrah ko kabul farma, accept the Umrah, ameen. Ya Allah, ziyarat Madina kabul farma, Ya Allah, accept our ziyarat to Madina, ameen. Ya Allah, Madina munawwara ki maut naseeb farma, give us death in Madina, silent. No army. They all become Hanafis. When I ask the man, what's wrong? He said, the riyas are still tickling us. When I ask the woman, what's wrong? He said, shopping baki chair. We still got big less day. What you want to speak of death, you know? You see? So this is how we are today. That love for this world, remember, is so much. We can't leave. It's very difficult. So anyway, so make that intention, but for Allah's sake, make intention for 6-day Hajj, make intention that you have the world and implement it before you embark. Next one, remember the package you're taking with whichever agent you're going, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, or whoever. So in that package, normally 50, 60, 70,000, whatever package you're taking, that Hadi, Quran calls it Hadi, what you call Dame Shukar, is included in the package. But most of you, yeah, in the tail, you follow the Hanafi school, so remember the Qurbani. The Bakri Eid Qurbani, Eidul Adha Qurbani, Udhiya, so remember all that we still have to do. The difference is your Hajj animal that you will slaughter there in Makkah or Mina, and your Eidul Adha Qurbani that you can slaughter in any part of the world. So you make arrangements with your brother, nephew, whoever, they can slaughter it here or send the money overseas or whatever. The point is, don't forget about it. That's important, especially for those who are following the Hanafi school. Next one, you should learn about the basics of Hajj. Alhamdulillah, this week, Saturday, there is a Hajj seminar here. Various ulama will be addressing. It will be live on the various radio stations and you can listen to it. But, and we have to thank our capital group for all this, mashallah, that they sponsor all these things. Our brother Muhammad Ikhlas and his brothers and family, Allah Ta'ala reward all of them. So you, the people who are going for Hajj, you should try and come there. And remember, there will be books and other material given to you and what have you. So that when you go, you don't just perform a Hajj. See, regarding Hajj, what Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ Take from me your actions of Hajj. It's authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. So we have to perform a quality Hajj. Remember that. If you study from top, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed one Hajj after he became compulsory. And 4 Umrahs. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you come to Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar is buried, Sayyidina Umar's son. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu performed 65 Hajj and 1,000 Umrahs. A'ataqa alfa abdin wa atamara alfa marra. So remember, he set free and liberated 1,000 slaves and performed Umrah 1,000 times from Makkah to Medina up and down. How he performed, brothers? See, he studied the history of Nabi alayhi salam. The Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at this place to rest. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped there to relieve himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, Abdullah ibn Umar, would go and stop there. The people ask him, for what you stop? He said, my aqa, my master, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped. You see what is love. That is love. Me and you, if there's no air condition in the car, we're like in Sakarat already. We're so used to all these things, brothers. Little bit difficulty comes, you know. And that's why Hajj, you have to go Muzdalifah. Sleep under the real stars. Understand what? We're so used to five star. Therefore, when I deliver lectures there, I say, brothers, sisters, the real stars you will see in Muzdalifah when you sleep on the land, on the sand. To show us that we must become the lovers of Allah. You say walk, I'll walk. You say run, I'll run. You say sleep, you will sleep. So we learn that fee, we have that zeal, enthusiasm to fulfill the command of Almighty Allah. Next one, my brothers and sisters, remember that regarding your Hajj, you know, every time I go, I come out crying actually, when I see the bay'adbi and the disrespect. Remember in Makkah Mukarramah, people are performing tawaf. Suddenly they will stop. Then one brother, they'll tell one brother, they just take our photo, our video and so forth. Oh, the person is busy with his selfie. What are we doing? Do we know, my brothers and sisters, what is Makkah? Anywhere in the world, you make intention of a vice, it's still not written down against us as a vice until we execute that sin and vice. But in Makkah, Mukarramah, Mina, Muzdalifah, the Haram area, Quran says, my brothers and sisters, esteemed listeners, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادِمْ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Who makes intention of oppression and wrongdoing and sinful acts and so forth, we will let that person taste a painful, terrible, horrible punishment. Just on intention. This is Quran, my brothers. Don't think we're in some ordinary place. It is the most sacred place. The holiest of holiest places. So we going in the garb of a pilgrim. Ma faza man faza illa bil adabi. Wa ma saqata man saqata illa bi su'il adabi. The sha'ir, the poet says, the person is successful is the one who goes with adab and respect and love. And the person who goes and shows bare adabi, disrespect, remember he'll be a failure. Right in the court of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will see the brothers there. Every time I witness, my heart bleeds. Instead of reading salat and salam in front of the master, they busy with the cell phone, busy with the videos, busy with the selfies. How many times I tell the brothers, you know, sometimes we just whisper to them, okay, this, la yambaghid, we tell them in Arabic, this is not, doesn't suit you to do this. If it's Urdu, they understand, we tell them, munasib nahi. Because we have to be careful, you know, we don't create some problems there. So, but we just whisper and tell them, you're right in the court of Nabi alayhi salam, and you're showing this disrespect. What is left there? You know what Quran says? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُدُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Those people who spoke softly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the people who were successful. And those who raise their voices and so forth is disrespectful, with grave consequences. So learn this quality of love, my brothers. Learn the quality of adab. We're going for Hajj. So let us behave as Hujjaj Baytillah. I have 2-3 minutes left, my brothers. So am I. I have to thank all the radio stations, our Radio Al Ansar, our Haji Muhammad Yusuf, Hafiz Shabir Basha, and our brother Faisal Asmal Day in the East Rand with Sirius FM. And our capital group with the Markaz Sahaba, Haji Mawdi Ikhlas, and everybody. To all the trustees, I don't know your name, and the honorable imams, and all of you, Jazakallahu khairan, that alhamdulillah, we had this program here in Tonga. To our engineers, my brother Dawood Mondli, brother Ahmed Ismail, Hafiz Muhammad Basa, all of them. Allah Jalla Wala reward all of you. You want to go for Hajj? So what you're looking at? Your money. One day on the radio, I mentioned you want to go for Hajj. So read this dua, Surah 2, verse 128. Surah 2, verse 128. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. There's a brother in Italy, till now in contact. So he heard me saying that, and he went to the Quran Sharif, Surah 2, verse 128, and he bayhatati. He's relating the whole story to me. He says, after 5-6 months, the agent phoned him, Abdullah, you want to go for Hajj? He said, of course I want to go, but, he said, leave the but, you want to go? He said, yes. He said, fine, pick up, I'm taking you. So when I flew from South Africa there to Venice, to Italy, and we met first time, so he cried and is whispering in my ear, وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So don't forget, my brothers, it's not our money that will take us, it's not the people we know that will take us. Allah, through His fazl, grace and mercy, will take us. So make that dua, Ya Allah, apna mehman bana de. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatun wa fil akhirati hasanatun wa qina adhab an-nar. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم احفظ بلاد الحرمين الشريفين من كل سوء ومكروه اللهم طهر المسجد الأقصى من اليهود الغاصبين المحتلين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله آمين.